Now, no doubt you've heard me heard about times when, times when a court judge dishes out justice to a criminal, where if they've done the done the crime, they do the time, and it's good to see a court justice or judge dish out justice due to the crime. But listen to this. This is a time where a disgraced Supreme Court judge receives justice due her crime. In March 2022, this year, a Supreme Court justice in Sweden was fined for shoplifting a Christmas ham and meatballs, among other items. The 67-year-old woman was caught by staff at a grocery store in central Stockholm a week before Christmas. And along with the ham and meatballs, she tried to hide sausages and cheese in a woven bag by covering them with another bag. The judge, who had served two decades on the bench, resigned in February when reports emerged that she was being investigated for misconduct. And the chief prosecutor stated that, "I have issued a fine regarding the crime of petty theft, previously known as shoplifting," which was just over £4,000, so approximately $8,000. I don't know whether they were IKEA meatballs or what, but that's certainly justice due the crime, isn't it? Some expensive ham and meatballs. Now, that's a terrible segue into the next element of our series through Two Ways to Live. And I encourage you, I did grab one for up here this morning, I encourage you to grab one of these little booklets from the foyer this morning, and not just one, but two or three, one for yourself and two for your neighbours. These booklets are a great evangelism tool to help us share the good news of Jesus with others around us. So we're into our third week of this series through Two Ways to Live, and it brings us to God's righteous justice. Over the last few weeks, we've laid the groundwork with messages that covered God being the creator and ruler of the earth, and from that, we know that he created humanity, and he placed us in the privileged position of ruling and caring for his earth and living under his rule. But instead of living under God's rule, last week we saw that we rebelled. We sought to live our own way. We determined what was good for us. Instead of living God's way and him determining what is good, this caused sin to enter into the world, and God's perfect creation was corrupted, and it not only created the corrupted creation, but corrupted us as well. And so, as a result of our sin, we come under the righteous judgment of God. An attribute of God closely connected to his holiness is his justice, or his righteousness, which means that he is upright, that he is good, that he is morally perfect, that his virtue and nature is good. There is nothing bad in him. God's righteousness includes his justice. And in the original languages in the Old Testament and New Testament, we see that there is just one word group for these two words, righteousness and justice. So from a biblical perspective, righteousness and justice of God is basically seen as the one and the same thing. God's righteousness and justice can be seen as the same attribute, or at least very interconnected. And so because of God's righteousness and holiness, that he is good, this means that there cannot be anything unrighteous or bad associated with him. Therefore, our sin deserves punishment, his punishment. And that punishment is death, or eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from His righteousness. And even when God dishes out this righteousness or this righteous justice, He still remains righteous in every way. So, Hebrews 9:27 says, "Just as people are destined to die once, after that to face judgment." We face God's judgment after we die. Because of His nature, of God being good and upright and righteous, God takes our rebellion seriously. He holds us accountable for our actions, and it matters to Him that we dishonor Him, that we treat other people poorly, or that we sin against Him and we ruin His world as well. In other words, God won't let this rebellion that is in our nature to go on forever. It would be unjust of God to let people go. He does use situations and events as part of His justice or judgment now to punish people and to draw them to repentance, and that's known as His temporal judgment. But there is coming a time when we will know His eternal judgment. Now, some people might, as we work our way through sharing the gospel with people, some people might ask, why doesn't God judge all the evil people in the world now? Why doesn't God do something about the evil in the world, like the murderers and the pedophiles and whatever else is out there? And the answer to that comes back to Jesus. God did do something about evil. God did do something about our sin, because it's as a result of our sin that there is evil in the world. He gave His Son so that sin might be forgiven. Now, some people might say, well, why is it taking so long for God to do something about it? Again, He did do something about it, but 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says that the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So God, in His righteousness, is being patient with humanity so that we will come to Him. He's using times like our current day and age to draw people to Himself, that we should come to repentance. But this doesn't mean that we should presume upon God's patience, both as the church with the command of sharing the gospel with others around us, but also as unbelievers. Nobody should presume that they will have the opportunity or the time to make things right with God before they die. Because after they die, then comes judgment. God is being patient with us, with all of humanity, and now is the time to be made right with God through Jesus Christ. Our life could be taken at any moment of the day or night, and we will stand before God in His righteous judgment, and we will give an account for our life. And the options will be the two ways to live. Did we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, or did we continue to live our own way? And this judgment is inescapable. You might hear people say, oh, I'm a good person, surely God will judge me that I'm a good person. I was actually talking to a guy just this week, and he said he was a firefighter, and he said that he's done some pretty terrible things in his life. But he's also saved a lot of people from fires or car accidents. And so I'm a good person. Hopefully God will balance the scales and see that I'm okay. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works, because our sin outweighs our good works. Our sin, our very nature, outweighs the good things that we can do ever to overcome it. And the only good person that is able to overcome our sin is Jesus. Now, we see that God's righteous punishment for sin is death. We experience God's judgment against our rebellion in the reality of death. And suffering and death are not natural. It wasn't part of God's original creation. And the corruption and decay and the disease that we see in our world are part of God's punishment for humanity's rejection of Him. And again, this is known as God's temporal judgment. We see that in sickness and natural disasters and the evil around us. But there is this further future judgment that we will face. As I've already mentioned, it is the day in which we will all stand before God and give an account to Him for our lives, for the damage that we have done, for the sin that we have done, for our personal rejection of Him as our ruler. I remember seeing a short little clip from a preacher, a Scottish preacher, saying about the man on the middle cross. The man on the middle cross. Do you remember the story about Jesus, not the story, the account about Jesus talking to the two criminals on either side of the crosses that were on his left and his right? And one of them mocked him and totally just devalued Jesus. But the other was able to come to a point of repentance. And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And this Scottish preacher was saying about the time when that criminal comes to God's eternal judgment, and the angels ask him, what are you doing here? And the criminal's like, "Oh, I don't know. The man on the middle cross said I could come." And the angel says, "Well, do you know much about Scripture? Do you know about Christianity? Do you know the five elements of two ways to live?" And he said, "No, the man on the middle cross said I could come. The man on the middle cross said I could come." This judgment that we will face will be as a result of our own sin. But the only way to escape this judgment is through Jesus. The sentence that God will pass on that day will be for those who have rejected His rule, will be what we've asked for: eternal separation from Him. And since God is the source of life, then separation from Him will mean a destruction that will never end. But the other option is that those who have taken their lives in the hands of Jesus and put their lives in the hands of Jesus and accepted the forgiveness that comes from Him, they will see eternal participation or salvation with God. Another question that might come up as we share the gospel with people is that if God is love, how can He send people to an eternal destruction? I can't answer that as well as R.C. Sproul answers this. I invite you to watch it with me.
If God is slow to anger...
If you can turn that up a little bit, Mick.
Excuse me. Since God is slow to anger... We're always learning. Since God is slow to anger and patient, then why, when man first sinned, was his wrath and punishment so severe and long-lasting?
Time out. Didn't we just have that question a second ago?
We did.
Yeah,
it's a little,
I think
little nuance.
That God's punishment for Adam was so severe. This creature from the dirt defied the everlasting holy God. After that, God had said, "The day that you shall eat of it, you shall surely die." And instead of dying, Thanatos, that day, he lived another day and was clothed in his nakedness by pure grace and had the consequences of a curse applied for quite some time. But the worst curse would come upon the one who seduced him, whose head would be crushed by the seed of the woman. And the punishment was too severe. What's wrong with you people? I'm serious. I mean, this is what's wrong with the Christian church today. We don't know who God is, and we don't know who we are. The question is, why wasn't it infinitely more severe? If we have any understanding of our sin and any understanding of who God is, that's the question, isn't it?
R.C. Sproul says, "This creature from the dirt, humanity, defied the holy and righteous living Creator who is in a position of ruling over us. And we dare to question that the punishment is too severe when it's not actually severe. It's not as severe as what we deserve. God doesn't give us justice. He still gives us grace and mercy right from the start in Genesis chapter 3. We've already laid the groundwork for God as our creator and ruler of this earth, and we've been reminded that he is good and that we've rebelled and sinned against him. And therefore, God's righteous judgment and punishment for sin is death, and this is just. And God uses temporal judgment to draw people to himself, circumstances and events and catastrophes. But there will come a time where we all stand before God for the final judgment and give an account for our lives. And this is hard to hear. It's a terrible thing to fall under the judgment of God's justice. And it's a prospect that we will all face if we're guilty of sinning against God. Consider it this way. Picture a courtroom with God as the righteous judge and all of humanity as the accused. We all stand before God guilty of sin, and the punishment is death, the death penalty. But that's not the end of the story. Even though God is righteous and good, he has to punish sin. He cannot have evil anywhere in his presence. He has made a way for us through his Son to be made righteous. That's his grace shining through. If you're picturing that courtroom, picture Jesus standing in as our defense attorney, and taking the punishment on himself, standing in our place, taking on our sin, giving his life so that we might live. And that through faith and repentance in Jesus, we are able to go free. We are able to escape the death penalty Not only that, we're elevated to a position of children of God instead of guilty criminals. There's grace in Genesis chapter 3, but there's greater grace in the New Testament through Jesus. As we see, as we work our way through this series, each of these messages builds upon the last. There's this foundation of God as creator and ruler. There's this foundation of us being given a position of being of ruling his earth under his rule. But we failed in that. You've made me lose my train of thought now. We have to understand that God created the world and us and placed us in the privileged position of his over his creation. But we rebelled, we rejected him, we sinned against God, and we come under his righteous judgment. And in order for people to know what we need saving from, we need to know that Jesus is the one who does the saving. God is righteous and just in passing judgment on our sin, and he will remain righteous and just, passing judgment on all of humanity. But he is also gracious in making the way, giving his Son, Jesus, for us to have our sins forgiven, for us to be made children of God. And so I urge you today, if you haven't done so, to take Jesus' sacrifice into your life. Take on board God's amazing grace and escape the coming judgment. Let's thank him for his amazing grace. Please pray with me. Lord, we do proclaim you this morning. Not that you need us to proclaim it, but you are righteous and just and holy and upright and good. There is no evil in you. You are the source of life. You are the one who is the righteous judge, not just of us here, but of all of humanity. And we thank you that you are righteous and just and good. And we acknowledge this morning that we are not. That our very nature, we are sinful human beings. But Lord, we thank you for the way that has been made through Jesus Christ, for us to have our sins forgiven, for us to be made right with you, for us to be made children of God, sons and daughters of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take that into our lives and apply it to our lives every day, that through your grace, through the faith that we exhibit in Jesus, we can have eternal life with you. And Lord, I pray and thank you again for your amazing grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we come to a time of communion,